When I was 8 years old, I became convinced aliens were coming to abduct me. The panic I experienced was all-consuming. It horrified my Catholic parents. I'm not saying they would have been thrilled if I'd been possessed by a demon instead, but they would have really preferred it to abduction anxiety. Exorcisms are on brand with the Vatican. Extraterrestrials aren't. I felt the aliens wouldn't come to get me in daylight. I couldn't picture them, say, at our local grocery store, hiding in wait to snatch me up behind a pyramid-shaped display of tomato soup cans. Aliens struck me as being rather goth. Luckily, in the daylight, there could be no more effective goth repellent than our home's hideous furnishings. We had 1970s green and yellow linoleum floors, neon orange and brown, scratchy wool plaid furniture. And on the living room wall, a huge, earnest painting of two raccoons someone had made while serving a prison sentence. I'm not sure if the artist painted it for my father as a heartfelt gift or as an act of revenge. The raccoons had a very, "you haven't heard the awful news yet, have you?" look about them. The painting was in a direct line of sight from our front door, so upon entering the house, I always looked to them first in a sort of litmus test, telepathically asking the raccoons, "How bad are things today?" We had a thermometer hanging outside the main window that my parents checked several times a day during performative arguments over who could hold out the longest before turning on the furnace. But the only forecast I worried about came from the raccoons' expressions. And their answer never changed. "Well, things are very bad." I figured the aliens would come for me while my parents slept, which meant I needed to stay up all night. Unfortunately, I lived in a stimulant-free household, in every sense of the term. Our medicine cabinet's contents were a laminated bookmark of the Lord's Prayer and a jar of Vaseline that looked borrowed from a World War II submarine's engine room. Exploring the house at night was too scary, and my parents would hear my footsteps. I tried to wait out the night in the bathroom once, with the door shut and the light on, but my mother found me. "Why do you think you're safe in here?" she asked. "Do aliens not go to the bathroom?" The pink foam of her rollers looked like an additional, external brain atop her scalp. She was there as a representative of logic and reason. I knew the terror I felt wasn't rational, but I couldn't stop feeling it. I began to hallucinate from lack of sleep. The edges of my life took on an animated quality that I accepted and dismissed. Piano keys would move. Furniture sometimes appeared to be sneaking up on me when I wasn't looking at it straight on. I knew that this was my mind, that I alone was experiencing these things. I knew that about my fear, too. And other things, like my thoughts at church. I didn't have faith, but my family did, and I needed to pretend to. I also pretended that my anxiety was getting better. My thoughts and feelings were very different from my words and actions. I experienced this disconnect as a profound loneliness. My parents named my problem the alien thing, and I came to realize this was an apt description of me, too. I didn't seem to belong in my family. Maybe I didn't fear I was going to be abducted so much as reclaimed. The only thing I could really do in bed all night without waking up my parents was read. And since I had no access to caffeine, I needed terror. At the library, I started checking out the most frightening things possible. If the librarians inquired, I claimed the books were for an older brother. But mostly they were too scared of me to ask questions. By age 9, lack of sleep was significantly affecting my appearance. With my dark under-eye circles, gaunt face, unbrushed hair, and affected smile that tried too hard to reassure all was fine, I looked as though my parents had a shot at needing that exorcism after all. Reading horror and later watching scary movies gave me the chance to take a more objective perspective on dread. I was able to study its construction and analyze forms of fear. Horror also gave me the chance to feel understood. These were characters who knew something bad was going to happen, even if those around them didn't. When I first saw the horror movie A Nightmare on Elm Street at a slumber party, I was so overcome with relief that I had to sneak off to the bathroom to weep. The teenagers in the movie knew this feeling I'd been alone with for years, that if they went to sleep, they were going to die, that what they were afraid of sounded too incredulous to be real, that no one was able to help or protect them.